Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Faith OP. It's nice to have a number of visitors from out of town. I think we're familiar with all of you, but we love having you anyway. This morning's call to worship are the first few verses of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham his servant, you children of Jacob his chosen ones, give thanks to the Lord. Our God, we delight to bring our psalms of praise to you. We love to count your mercies, record your marvelous acts, speak of them to you, speak of them with each other, speak of them to the world. We bring our praises, we bring our thanks. Most especially, we bring you thanks for the Lord Jesus, the one you have given, your own one and only Son that you gave for the sake of the world, for the sake of your people, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life with you, life abundantly. The life that you have blessed us with through the Lord Jesus. We give you our thanks. We bring our prayers to you in his name, remembering that he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll be using Psalm 106 as one source of meditation this morning. And it is a long psalm, so I've decided just to chop it in half. There's two places in the bulletin that say the Word of God read. And we will read first Psalm 106, verses 1 through 27. I urge you to follow along in your own Bibles or your pew Bibles as you would. Either way, with our eyes or just using our ears, let us give careful attention to the Word of the Lord. Praise the Lord! O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. When they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he destroy them. And thus far, the reading of God's Word. I said 27, I decided to stop at 23 with the work of Moses there. I think I didn't choose a distinct confession of faith, so let us read together from the Nicene Creed. And it is found on page 846 in your hymnal. Let us confess words of our faith together with people all around the world. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bow our heads together and pray together. Father, even as we bring our thanks to you, we bring our cares and our supplications to you as well. You have provided abundantly for us in so many ways. At the same time, we do feel the cares of our needs. We feel the cares of the needs of one another. And even as you delight to provide, you also delight to listen to prayer. And the prayers of your children please you. Indeed, they amuse you. They make you glad. You're a father who delights in his children. Regardless of how old we are glad to hear our voices, glad to speak with us. Father, we pray for students. We have a number of young student friends back with us this morning. We give you thanks for their opportunities to study. We give you thanks for the ways they want to learn that they might serve others. Whatever profession they might go into. Thank you, Father, for their opportunity to study. We pray that they will use it well, devote themselves to books, to laboratories, to assignments. We pray that they would honor you and acknowledge you with their speech wherever they are. We pray that you would be including them in fellowship and worship opportunities. We pray that you would keep them safe as they travel the highways going to and from school or wherever. Father, one way or another, we do ask that your word would advance advance to the earth and also advance in our hearts. Make this congregation the congregation where the Word of God is well known, well studied, well spoken, well done. We realize that all of these things come about in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been made to us wisdom and sanctification and righteousness. Oh God, may His life be shown well and shown brightly in all the things that happen in this congregation. Thank you that these are your very purposes. And thank you for including us in them. We give you our thanks. We bring to you our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we'll finish reading Psalm 106. I believe I stopped reading after verse 23. Where he mentions the salvation that God brought His people through His servant Moses in spite of their resistance. Let us read on from verse 24 to 48. Sadly, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe His word, but they complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore He raised His hand in an oath against them, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked Him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. They angered Him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against His spirit, so that He spoke rashly with His lips. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works, and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against His people, so that He abhorred His own inheritance, and He gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection into their hand. Many times He delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel, and were brought low in their for their iniquity. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry, and for their sake He remembered His covenant, and relented according to the multitude of His mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And thus far the reading of God's Word. There is a lot to thank God for. Psalm 33 tells us, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. There's a lot to thank God for. Again and again, Psalms like Psalm 96 that we sung a little while ago says that the entire earth should do it. And in some ways, the entire earth does do it. Almost any nation that you can think of has some kind of harvest festivals. Those harvest festivals have been around a long time. Alfred the Great, first king of England that we know about, he led harvest festivals. The ancient Romans, they always honored their god Ceres, from the very beginning. And ancient women, or women in ancient Greece, they weren't that ancient individually, but they always honored their goddess Demeter for their harvest festivals. Psalm 98 plainly says that the entire earth should thank God And maybe those various harvest celebrations in their own ways kind of do it. But of course, the Bible tells us that the people of God, those that are in Jesus Christ, those that are saved by Jesus Christ, they should especially bring thanks to God. And we have read that more or less in Psalm 106 that we are using this morning. And the fact that we have an annual Thanksgiving Day in our calendar reminds us that we have a lot to thank God for. This is not Thanksgiving Day exactly. That was, 3 days ago? Thanksgiving Day shows up every year. Sometimes we have an extra service with regard to it. I don't think we did this year, did we? Thanksgiving shows up on the calendar every year. But I want to remind you that there are dangers in simply repeating the calendar over and over and over again. Tell me if any of these attitudes fill your mind at this time of year. Thanksgiving means a day off, a day away from work, maybe 2 days away from work, 2 days away from school, a long weekend, 4, maybe 5 days if you're at certain colleges, time off. Thanksgiving means a big meal with your favorite foods. Thanksgiving means some free time, maybe some time to catch up on work that you haven't been able to do before. It used to be that Thanksgiving meant a Husker victory, or at least a titanic struggle with Oklahoma. Now, these are all part of those things on the calendar. It's possible that some of those things have very little to do with the origins of Thanksgiving. You may have forgotten that, for instance, when Thanksgiving days occurred in this country amongst our ancestors, their words were like this: "It is a day specially appointed for the expression of a sense of obligation for divine favor." You and I may think lightly of the word thanks. Our ancestors put the word obligation in. Thanks, obligation go together. A real acknowledgement that what we have is provided by God. In the good old days, hundreds of years ago, Thanksgiving used to go along with fast days. You and I might have trouble thinking of Thanksgiving except in the context of a feast, right? Some of our Christian ancestors would include Thanksgiving along with fast. Or they would also proclaim days for repentance. Days for the sake of repentance. And it's probably been a while since you've seen one of those on the calendar, right? I think possibly the last time a president really tried to lead the nation in repentance was maybe on the days of Jimmy Carter. And you know what happened to him in the election of 1980. Those kinds of messages are not quite as popular as some other messages that we enjoy. Now, it's very possible, very probable that you know some things about the story of, quote, the first Thanksgiving on this continent. Thanksgiving days actually go back much further than the 1600s. But even if you know part of the story of what we have termed the first Thanksgiving, I don't want you to relax into it too much just yet. Because the people who were here back in the early 1600s, they didn't relax into a standard calendar just then. In fact, Thanksgiving was never a regular day on the calendar in America until the latter half of the 1600s. But before that, before the latter half of the 1600s, when there was a Thanksgiving day, it was because unique days were appointed because unique mercies were noted. You and I have Thanksgiving on our calendar every year, and it's there almost regardless of what happens, right? We print the calendars up a year in advance, it's already there. Fourth Thursday in November, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. But back in the 1600s, if people had a Thanksgiving day, they were appointed as unique mercies were noted when something special was observed. And it might happen almost regardless of the time of year. And the real first Thanksgiving day of the pilgrims that you hear about, 1620, 1621, Plymouth Rock and all that, the real first Thanksgiving day is one that you might almost never hear about because it was one that probably had no food involved. It wasn't in November of 1621 after the great harvest of 1621. It was December 20th of 1620 when they acknowledged that they had arrived safely on this continent, which was their destination. They had arrived safely in spite of their ship almost breaking apart in the middle of the Atlantic. They acknowledged that they arrived safely and found a place where they could at least use the fresh water. And I have no idea if they had any ship stores left or any food or anything. That was, for them, their first Thanksgiving on this continent. Because they knew they had come safely across the Atlantic by the kindness and the care of God. They were glad to be alive, and they wanted to acknowledge the special mercies they had seen in the crossing. What is often called the first Thanksgiving was really their second Thanksgiving, the one that came in November of 1621, the one that came after the good harvest of 1621. One where food was available, and since food was available, it wasn't just a day, it was actually a week. And they kept it going by getting up early in the morning to go hunting every day, confident of God's provision in that way, confident of having a new supply of meat day by day as the days went by. Thanksgiving was a lot more than something on the calendar. It really was in their hearts. It really was in their observations as they watched the Lord's mercies. It really was a style, a thing, whatever you want to call it. And it wasn't until 1630 that civil government got involved. When the civil government got involved, even then, it was for something distinct. In Massachusetts, on July 8, 1630, there was a special day of Thanksgiving in the middle of the summer. Special day of Thanksgiving because a fleet of ships arrived, bringing new kinds of stores like shovels and axes and things that you manufacture in England, and maybe some more people to help with the colony. And then eventually the civil government did get involved. In 1639, folks in western Massachusetts, by order of the civil government, did celebrate a special harvest. All I'm saying is that it wasn't simply a regular thing because of the calendar. It wasn't until the late 1700s, maybe 150 years after what people call that first Thanksgiving, that things became regular. And there can be dangers in that regularity. In the good old days, if there was a day of Thanksgiving, it really was a day for Thanksgiving. It was common that if you had a day of Thanksgiving, two church services were held. I hope the preachers love preaching. For all practical purposes, their day was spent preaching. A good sermon back then was, what, 2 or 3 hours? And there were two of those services. And families devoted a fair amount of time
to reading other sermons in their home meetings. It was a day where people genuinely focused on Thanksgiving, a day when people genuinely counted their blessings, a day where people said, we know what we're doing here. We've declared this because we're observing the Lord's mercies. That is what we're doing. You and I know that probably the trend has gone away from that genuine devotion to Thanksgiving. It perhaps has gone more to a special break for us. I remember what I was like when I was in grade school. What did I look forward to? Well, Christmas break, teachers' convention weekend, and Thanksgiving. Why? No school. That's what I was like when I was, say, 10 years old. That is certainly not the most mature outlook to have. And I genuinely hope that it's not representative of the average American adult today. But in case it is, let me just say these words. There can be danger in that regularity. Because that regularity means this is what I always do, or this is what I deserve to get to do. And all of this is by way of introducing a sermon text that makes a point that is also made in Psalm 106. In fact, it's a New Testament quotation of Psalm 106. In Romans 1:18 and 21, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor give thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That is bad news for thanklessness. Bad news for thanklessness. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of John Perkins. He's a man who is still alive. He's getting pretty ancient. He leads a mission down in Mississippi. I had the privilege to meet him a few times, but he once tried to make a comment. Thankfulness, really, when you come right down to it, is everything. Thankfulness is at the heart of acknowledging God. Thankfulness acknowledges that God has made you, that what you have is by His provision, that what He leads you through is His will. Like the Bible says, it's God's will for your sanctification. And he works, and used to work, amongst some people who really had about as little as anybody on the North American continent. He would say, let me teach you about Thanksgiving. Let me tell you to acknowledge what God has provided instead of bitterly focusing on what God has not provided. Let me teach you about Thanksgiving. It really is at the heart of a person acknowledging God. There are dangers in thanklessness, as we read in Psalm 106. And you and I should really be glad that we have some better examples in our history than ancient Israel was. We have a very good example, of course, in those original pilgrims. Our forefathers really were genuinely thankful. They observed God's mercies, and they counted them, and they thanked Him. They knew that they had made it across the ocean because God had held their ship together. Even though a main spar running through the ship had cracked, they had to do everything they could to patch that up. It had cracked when they were more than halfway across. And the captain of the ship said, well, we've got to go on. It's shorter to go west than it is to go east. They knew that God had got them across the Atlantic. They knew that they had avoided starvation that first year because God had made their crops succeed. They knew that they had even been allowed to come because God holds the heart of the king in his own hands and turns it to his purposes. Without that, they would never have been allowed to leave England. But most importantly, they knew that they had been rescued from their sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God himself was dwelling with them. The unique experience of the people of God. Even our Psalm 106, after reviewing that history, that awful history of thanklessness, honors God the Savior in the last few verses. God regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. And that Psalm 106 is followed by the first words of Psalm 107. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from the hand of the enemy, those he gathered from the lands, from east, west, north, and south. Our forefathers knew what it meant to be gathered into the love of God, to be gathered into the grace of Christ, to be gathered into the salvation and the presence of God that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew what God had done for them. They knew how God wanted to dwell with them. They focused on that. They acknowledged God in their thanksgiving. They expected God's blessings upon their thanks. So I urge you, be the same way this season. Be the same way this year. Be the same way this life. Read your Bible and you can see that there are those who refused, and there continue to be those who refuse. Even people who receive the Word of God, it says, refused to acknowledge God, refused to thank Him. And there are dangers in being like that, so don't be like them. Instead, turn your heart to thank God and do it openly. Speak of the mercies of the Lord that you see. And if you're having trouble seeing the mercies of the Lord, train your eyes. Train your eyes to see them. Train your eyes to focus on the ways God has provided rather than focusing on ways you think He's not. Because He really does do extraordinary things. Make a concerted effort to see those blessings and to count them. They really do fill your day. And you should acknowledge that. You should pray that others would catch the same spirit. Pray that others will bring their thanks to God. Not just in some general way like God's good, or God is good to the earth, but pray that people would come in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Whatever the mercies of God are, they are sealed to us in the blood of the Lord Jesus, and if people are really going to appreciate them, they will recognize them in the Lord Jesus, in true faith in Him. You acknowledge that forgiveness of sins that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you know that forgiveness, you know that most foundational and precious of blessings, and seeing the other blessings is a whole lot easier. Be sure and acknowledge the work of the Lord in your thanksgiving. I'm telling you this morning to thank and speak and pray. Do all those things so that God might receive a great chorus of thanksgiving from our land in these days. Amen. Father, we do give you thanks for the Lord Jesus. We bless you as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you have given for our sakes and the one that you have established over all things for the sake of the church, the one that you have attached us to and brought us to yourself in him, the one who has said that if we seek him, seek his kingdom first, all other things will be added to us. Father, thank you. We pray this for ourselves. We pray this for our friends, neighbors, loved ones, and others. Bring that chorus of thanksgiving to yourself through the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.